Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to Love Bites, coming at you from Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jacqueline Raposo, the producer and one of your hosts here. It's winter. Ben, my darling co-host and dear friend, is hard at work in Portland, Oregon. And in his absence, I'm taking a little personal hibernation. But we've got a really lovely series to share with you, Couples of the Food World. We've asked five couples in the food and hospitality industries the same questions about how they make working, living, and loving together happen. Where are the joys, and where are the hardships? Today we're sharing a show we recorded a few weeks ago and saved just for you. So we hope you enjoy it. And if you want to find out what we are doing right now, who we are dating, and how we are loving, you can always find us as at Love Bites Radio on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And don't forget to tag us on your tweets and photos, or use the hashtag GiveLove so that we can follow along with what you're doing too. Happy winter. Enjoy the show. Steve Graff is the co-founder and vice president of sales for Banshee Wines, a San Francisco-based company. Stacey Adamando is a food and travel journalist, editor, recipe developer, and the test kitchen director for Savor Magazine. Welcome to Love Bites, Steve and Stacey.
Thank you.
So, thank you, David.
Catching me off guard already.
So, listeners, this is a very atypical show for me today because my darling Benjamin is not here. He is in Portland without me. Oh. I am in Brooklyn without him. Can you extend that? Can you make it like the longest aw ever? Oh, thank you. I'm so sad. Benny, I miss you so much. So I am holding down the fort without you. It is December. We are pre-recording another show. It is January when you are listening to this. I have no idea what's happening in January, which is exciting. It's like I'm seeing into the future and I have no idea what's going to happen. But today we are continuing our series on couples in hospitality, which is our really, I don't know, it's really warming our hearts. So I'm so excited to have you guys here because we met a few weeks ago when I was fortunate to be attending one of the Savor dinners, the Savor suppers.
Yes, we were so happy to have you.
And over some of your wine, Steve, you guys started telling me the story of your meet cute and how you ended up in New York from California. And so I think we should just go straight to your origin story. So why didn't you guys tell me the bits and pieces of how did you meet?
Sure.
Where did you meet? Who asked who out? Let's go way back to the beginning. Why don't you guys just start me off from the very, very top?
We had a really non-traditional and unexpected meeting. We were both single, you know, kind of getting to that point where we were feeling like, I really wish I could meet someone, but you know what? I'm just going to enjoy myself. And
where were you?
So I was living in Brooklyn at the time. I had been in New York for about 8 years. And Steve had been living in San Francisco for, what, about the last 10?
About 10 years at that point.
Yeah, so we met on a trip to Oregon for a food and wine festival. But the way that we got there was kind of the best part of the story. Basically, I had never been to Oregon before. I met a nice young man who was not Steve, who was telling me.
Steve's got the biggest smile right now. He's like got a smirky smile.
It's a good one.
It's a great story.
This is
is like the awe
he
series.
He who shall not be named.
Yeah.
He who shall
yeah,
not
so
be named.
It's a small industry, so we won't name any names, but he
oh
was
God,
a,
so
a
curious.
Member of the industry, and, you know, he's just telling me all about how great Oregon was, and he's like, I can't believe you've never been there, you know, the food scene's blowing up, and God, you really need to come out, and also, you know, I thought... He's charming me with all these stories. You know, he speaks all these languages and he's like makes everything from scratch at home. And, you know, he's just this like jack of all trades. And I was like, wow, well, this is nice. Like, you know, nice guy inviting me out to Oregon for this food and wine festival. He's like, I'm going to put you in touch with the PR people for this Willamette Valley thing. You should come out, you know, get to know all the chefs, all the restaurants. So I thought, well, great. What could be wrong with that? Then in between going out to Oregon, I happened to run into him again. And it was just really not what I thought it was going to be. He was very different than I thought at first meeting, and we had a lot less in common, and the personalities did not really mesh.
Oh,
and
no.
He got super drunk, and it was just this kind of awkward thing. And I was like, you know what? Why am I going out on this trip? You know, I'm sort of...
I'm feeling icky.
Yeah, that's how I felt. And I felt a little bit like, God, I mean, I've like manipulated this whole trip, you know, and why am I doing this? But I thought, okay, I have to show up. You know, what's the worst that can happen? So I show up first day of this food and wine festival in Oregon. There's a big like bonfire party. It was kind of the dream, like beautiful, hilly, you know, green, gorgeous space in Oregon in the Willamette Valley. There's a bonfire, you know, there's wine everywhere. All these people are mingling and I'm there by myself, totally like standing around a bunch of, you know, 80-year-old people who are talking about wine when I know really not very much about wine. And
so I'll jump in here quickly. So the setup on my side was my business partners and I decided to go up to this festival. It's called IPNC, the International Pinot Noir Celebration.
And did you have your wine company at this point? You had Banshee at
Banshee,
that point?
Yep. Because couple years
in 2009.
Old.
2009.
Yep.
Okay.
And really, this was kind of an excuse for us to go mingle, meet some other people in the business, hang out for a weekend. So we rented a house up there. And we're just like, all right, great. Like,
God, this sounds horrible.
Yeah, weekend in Portland.
I hate this idea.
And we, you know, through connections, we were able to...
I hate Portland.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. Ben, I miss you.
We were pouring wine at this winery that I forget the name of, but it was beautiful. And again, the bonfire. So after we were finished pouring, everyone was kind of gathering around this bonfire as the sun had like kind of set and the afterglow was kind of lighting up everything. And
do you look over?
Yeah. Well, actually I had spotted Stacy a little bit earlier in the night. I just, as I was pouring wine, I kind of, you know, noticed this girl and I was like, oh, cute girl. Great. You know, we'll see. And so fast forward to bonfire time.
Yeah, so the sun is setting. It's like picture perfect. And this guy who I had met, who I no longer really was interested in, said, hey, why don't we go sit over by the bonfire and have a glass of wine? And I'm like, oh, God, okay. Well, all right. Yeah, sounds fine. So we walk over to the bonfire and I sit down and I'm just trying to enjoy myself and like kind of not take it too seriously. And I'm looking around for kind of like anyone else to talk to at this point because I don't want to chat with this guy alone. And so I literally looked to the person sitting next to me and it was Steve's business partner.
Oh, Steve's business partner.
Steve's business partner.
Well, like, wait a second,
and they were all in a row, the three boys, three Banshee boys, you know, just looking all friendly and like, hi, who are you? And so we introduced ourselves and then, you know, this guy who was with me kind of pops out from around my shoulder and says, hi, you know, like as if we were together or something. And so the Banshee guys kind of were like, oh, is this your, you know, are you guys
who
together?
Is this?
And I'm giving them looks like, no, my God, please save me.
Yeah.
Like just making them like, oh, can you guys intervene here? So they did. And they kind of rescued me from him in a way. And, you know, I'm so excited because now I have three young, fun friends to like spend the rest of the wine festival with. And, you know, I think at the time, like, I just wasn't thinking, oh, like, are any
future,
of them single
right?
or, you know,
yeah.
this could be my husband. I just was like, yay, fun trip. This just took a turn for the better.
All right. So fast forward for me. When did that shift to an actual interest of something? Or Steve, was it of interest to you at that time or
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, it was. And we hung out that night, which was great because we like kind of bounced around McMinnville, this little town up there, and went to these great little bars. And I think what really kind of piqued my interest most was when we were at this, like, just kind of a, I forget what the bar was, but kind of a hole in the wall bar. And I like to play pool, and I got Stacy to play pool with me, and she was holding her own, and she was drinking whiskey, and I was like, all right, I like this. This is good.
And when did it change for you, Stacy?
For me, again, I sort of just thought, like, this is fun, you know, these, like, new friends, and I wasn't really, I never thought, like, oh, I'll meet someone who lives in a totally different state and be interested in them. It sort of just seemed like a leap, so I'm just enjoying myself, and actually his friends made a kind of a joke. We were, you know, stopping by a store or like had to run in somewhere, and they said, well, maybe Steve and Stacy can go together. And I sort of like blushed in the back seat and was like, oh my god, has he been like crushing on me this whole time? And I didn't even think of that, like, oh my god. And then I started to think, like, well, yeah, I mean, he is really great, and I guess I just never thought of that, but oh my god, you know. So that was the last night that we were hanging out on this long weekend, and that basically ended up being the night that we had our first kiss. And it was a super special, adorable evening. Yeah. So.
Stacy dragged me onto the dance floor where we were the only people dancing in front of the...
It was a 700-person dinner party and a completely empty dance floor in the center. And I had like just enough champagne that I was like, Steve, let's go dance. And I dragged him out on the dance floor with this amazing like soul music playing in the background. And he asked me if he could kiss me on the dance floor, and then... The rest is history.
All right. Well, since the rest is history, I'm going to ask you one more question, because I could pick apart your entire relationship. But I'm going to ask you a hard question, because I feel like this is a very hard thing for people to define. But what did falling in love feel like to you? If you could define the process of falling in love, especially because you did have a country between you for part of it.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say falling in love felt like?
It was exciting and scary at the same time.
How so?
It was exciting because for me, it kind of, this felt different from anything else I had, any other person I had felt for. And also we had to kind of overcome this, you know, cross country thing, and that's not super easy, and I think when you know it's kind of right, it's more scary because more is at stake. Your heart's more in it.
You sort of know like everything's about to change, and you're not sure. You know, it's the excitement wins, and you follow the excitement, and like, you know, they say like life opens a door and you walk through it, and it's sort of like we just kept doing that. We just kept saying like, okay, I'm going to quit my job and move to California now. You know, it just all seemed like, how could this even be real? I mean, how could this random... I think, you know, we even joked like 3 days ago, like, can you believe we actually got married from meeting in Oregon? Like, how did that happen? You know, so we decided to say yes to the feelings that we were feeling instead of, you know, the fear and the strangeness of it all. And I think everybody around us saw that that was true. And they were all like, you got to do it. Like, you got to go out there because this is totally real. You know, this is like wonderful.
How did you figure out that it was real? Because I feel like a lot of people, that would be the hard part. Did you have a discussion about that? Like, how did, especially when
So right after we met in Oregon, I had a trip already planned to New York about a month or two later. And so we had kind of tentatively made plans to hang out when I was going to be in New York. And I think we end up hanging out with two of my best friends, and Stacy joined us, and we had a great night. But in a way, like having that plan already to see her after that weekend was kind of like,
yeah, it helped us not have to do the awkward, like, do you want to see each other again? Yeah. We were sort of like, oh, great, you're going to be there in a month? Great, I'll just see you again. You know, we didn't put anything on it. It wasn't like, oh, my God, and maybe we'll be dating. You know, it just sort of felt like, great, well, this doesn't have to end, and I'll just see you next time, you know? And, I mean, I really, like, I know people say this all the time, but I really can say it, and I knew it then, and I can definitely agree looking back, that when I walked into the restaurant that night and saw Steve stand up from the table, I was like, this is the guy. Like, everything in me just completely relaxed and felt like, this is my person. Like, it was just so there's something about him that I just was like, I know that this is going to be really frighteningly special, you know. And actually, like, that night, later, you know, his friend had had a bunch of cocktails and knows him better than anyone in the world. And basically, at the end of our dinner, he said, why do I have a feeling I'm going to be saying the best man speech at your wedding? And people always cringe when they hear that. Like, they're like, oh my God, his friend said that? Were you guys so embarrassed? And we kind of just looked at each other at that point.
We kind of knew.
Like, you actually might be right. Like, I know.
No. It's like, that's my heart, like, feeling good things. That's not me cringing in a bad way. That's me like, I'm going to like melt. All right, before
I
melt.
To answer your question real quick.
Okay,
also,
yes.
And goes back to Stacey's point, which is Stacey felt like home almost from the beginning to me, and that, like, just the ease that I was able to be with her was kind of a signal to me that it was special.
Ben, did you hear that, Ben? I know that. Ben, you're on, right? Ben. Ben, I love you, Ben.
Okay, so before I melt completely, let's play the newlywed game. Let's play the newlywed game. All right, grab your papers, kids.
Oh, God.
So, listeners, this is the part of the show where I challenge our guests with 5 questions. Before we started recording, I gave them these 5 questions and asked them to answer the question for themselves and for their partner. And now we're going to see, what do they say on that show? Which something reigns supreme? Alton Brown says that, right? Like, which something? What is it? Which chef reigns supreme? I think it's the big kitchen Iron Chef. That one, the Kitchen Stadium one. Yes. All right. So which? Anyway, I'm losing focus here. Okay. So number one. How long have you been together? I'm reading the wrong questions. Okay. Number one. What is your favorite comfort food? What is your partner's favorite comfort food? Steve, why don't you go first? What is Stacey's favorite comfort food?
I think her grandma's lasagna.
Good one, but that's not what I wrote down.
Oh, no!
That definitely is, but I wrote down popcorn. Because popcorn is like, if Steve's not home and it's just me at home by myself, I'm like, I'm making a huge bowl of popcorn and I'm going to just watch what I want to watch and it's going to be great.
It's funny. On our Single and Fabulous Ladies show, that's what our outgoing executive director, Erin Fairbanks, said that she loved about being single, that she eats an entire bowl of popcorn by herself.
Yeah. I barely share with him when he's around, too.
Yeah, you're kindred spirits. Okay, so what did you say Steve's favorite comfort food is?
I said pizza.
She's right.
1 point for Stacey. All right, number
She's definitely
2.
Definitely going to win this one.
Oh, God. I don't know.
Number 2. What is your partner's code word or signal for when you've been bad? Stacey, why don't you go first?
Well, am I listening to what I think Steve calls me?
Yes, what does Steve call you for when you've been bad?
I wrote down 2 things, which I know isn't fair, but one of them is darling. Like, we have this way of just being like, darling, like, you know, like, are you up to something? And the other one is you, like, he'll just kind of be like, hey, you, like,
what did you say,
I just Steve? Said Stacy because I don't really call you Stacy that often, like, fool.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
It's like, I'm, if I'm it's like Stacy, like, that's you know,
all right, nope. Wow, you tried twice and still.
I know, I still miss. I know, we don't really, you know, it's because we're just never in trouble.
Yeah, I know. I knew that's where this was going. All right, Steve.
I don't usually get a word as much as a death stare.
Well, that's only when you're like really, really in trouble. I wrote down Steven or darling again because it's kind of our like.
If you see the head go down, the eyes come up, it's not a good thing.
All right. So, there we go. All right. Yeah. Number 3. So listeners, it's 1-0 Stacey right now. Number 3, the code for let's get it on for sexy time. God. Steve, why don't you go first?
There's a clicking sound that we use.
Oh,
there's
God.
A clicking sound. Can you do the clicking sound?
It's just, I don't know where it originated.
I'm
but
mortified.
She's
right
like, well,
now.
I love it.
It's kind of just this little.
All right.
Is that true, Stacey?
It's very true. Yay! And that's so much more G-rated than what I wrote down. So I really don't think I can bring myself to read
this. Can you please?
I can't do it.
Can Steve read it for you?
Well, I'll let him see it, and if he wants to read it, please don't read it.
Now they're both blushing.
Oh, God.
She likes to touch my parts.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's
code. That technically?
It's not very subtle, but it's code.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're going to give them both a point for that. I think we're going to give them both 2 points for that. So right. I think, yeah, we're giving them both 2 points for that. So now I think I lost track of the points, actually, on my fingers.
I think we're 3-2 now.
3-2 right? Now. Yeah. Yes, 3-2. Yes, that's what it is. That's correct. It's 3-2. So
sounds
it's 3-2,
right.
Stacey. Okay, so number four, your partner's favorite cocktail. And we have decided, since Steve is a wine guy, to limit it to favorite cocktails, not favorite alcoholic beverage. Stacey, why don't you go first now that the blood has left all of our collective faces?
God, I could not choose between a margarita or a Manhattan to save my life. Like, right now, he's in a really big Manhattan phase because it's winter. And
all right, you're all doing a lot of dual choosing, I know. So okay, I need you to pick one.
I'm going to go with Manhattan.
Manhattan, ooh.
Oh, God, I chose wrong.
Mezcal margarita.
Ah! All right, Steve, what do you say?
Gin martini, extra olives.
I wrote down Negroni.
All right, last one.
Failing.
It's 3-2. Stacey, your last supper.
Okay, for Steve's, I wrote down steak and a glass of Burgundy or Barolo. So off. What did you write?
Pizza party with champagne.
Oh, you can't pick pizza twice. All right. Well, I got it the first time.
So I said for you this spicy Thai soup that we had on our honeymoon.
That's very specific.
That is really obscure. I said my mom's linguine and clams.
Oh, well, the score is 3-2. But I'm still very impressed by all of those answers. How do you guys feel?
I feel good about them.
Those are challenging questions.
They
have gone a lot of ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right. Well, I appreciate you guys being such good sports. And you can chat about them while we take a commercial break. So, listeners, we're going to take a short break to hear a word about our sponsor. But before we get to that, a reminder that you can find all of our shows archived at heritageradionetwork.org, as well as on iTunes. And if you're listening to us on iTunes right now, we would truly love and appreciate if you'd click on those 5 pretty little stars and drop us a few lines with what you love about our show. iTunes reviews are the niftiest way for other people to find us, and we love reading about what's resonating with you. So thanks in advance for that, and stay tuned for more with Stacey and Steve, because we'll be right back.
Today's program is brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Wisconsin produces the world's best cheese, period. Why? Lush grasslands, glacial water supply, fourth-generation cheesemakers, combining old-world tradition with the new ideas and highest standards. The very best milk. What do you think of when you think of Wisconsin cheese? For me, I think cheese curds. Delicious, fresh cheese curds, or deep-fried cheese curds. Cheese curds literally any way, anytime, any place. I think about Andy Hatch and Upland's Cheese Company, the operation behind the Pleasant Ridge Reserve cheese that's literally America's most awarded cheese. I think of the deliciously stinky Limburger and its long-storied history. I think about Raleigh's Dumbarton Blue, a perfect blend of English-style cheddar and notes of blue. I think of Emmy Roth's Grand Cru Sirchois, which was named 2016's World Champion at the World Championship Cheese Contest. Wisconsin is like the world champion of cheese, and once you start reading the list of cheeses made in Wisconsin on their website, you can see why. The Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board is a nonprofit organization funded entirely by Wisconsin's dairy farm families. Read more at eatwisconsincheese.com. And as soon as you're done listening to this podcast, eat Wisconsin cheese. It's a no-brainer.
So we are back with Stacey and Steve, and now we are going to pick apart your relationship as it relates to the hospitality field. Mm. So Stacey, you are a food writer, editor, recipe tester, and Steve, you are the co-founder and VP of sales for Banshee Wines. So before the break, we talked about the general way you guys got together, and Stacey, you moving to California to be with Steve. So now let's sort of break down, were you worried about, you met at a food festival, did it come up in the beginning of your relationship that you work in similar fields? You don't work as tightly together as other couples in this series, but you do work. There is crossover. Like when we met Stacey, when the three of us met, we met at an event where Stacey, you were the author on the cookbook of the chefs who were cooking, mm-hmm. and Steve, you were supplying the wine, mm-hmm. and speaking about the wine. So there was crossover at that event already. So yeah. Like, how did that work out in the beginning of your relationship? Did you discuss how that would work? Was there crossover in your social circles? Like how was that in the beginning?
I think it was a surprise to me to date someone in the wine industry. First of all, I felt very unknowledgeable about wine.
It can be intimidating, right?
Yeah. And I was like, how this guy is going to think I'm a fool about wine. But also, I think just I had this image of people in the wine business as being like, I don't know, kind of big partiers and, you know, really like schmoozy. And it was all about like your contacts and being at all the restaurants and your accounts and whatever, you know, and I just, that didn't seem like my lifestyle. So I thought it was surprising to like start dating somebody in that industry. But Steve is so not that guy in the wine business. He's like the picture of health and he's so like just a natural salesperson. He's not like a schmoozy, over the top, pushy guy. You know, I think he just like really sells stuff that he believes in. So I don't know. It was kind of like first a surprise, but then also just this pleasant compliment to each other. Like, because we're not in the exact same industry, you know, like if I were dating another writer, I think that might be, you know, it could foster some competition, or you could just feel kind of like maybe that person's done more than me or I've done more than them. And that's weird. Or, you know, who gets the job and who doesn't. But because we almost like have a satellite connection to each other, you know, where when Steve moves in on somebody like at a restaurant or a cool event or something, he can kind of bring me in and be like, oh, and my wife is, you know, she cooks.
I like to brag about her a lot because it makes me look better. So
and vice versa.
But yeah, there was no formal discussion really, but it just felt complimentary, I think, from the beginning. And, you know, Stacey knows a ton more about food and restaurants than I do and stays up on that news. So I totally, you know, am the benefactor from that part of it.
What were the challenges of you moving out there? Did you move in together automatically or did you?
Yeah. So this is like also, again, seems like it would be a crazy thing to do and just totally overwhelming. But we went from dating across the country, me having a full-time job in magazines and Steve, you know, owning his business, to living together with me being full-time freelance. So we were both technically working from home and living together for the first time across the country. My first time living on the West Coast in San Francisco. So it was a lot. But I think there were, you know, it couldn't have worked for everyone. And there are certain people that probably would have driven each other nuts. But personally, I was so happy to have him at home as much as I did. I think I would have gone crazy as a first time freelancer, just working from home and, you know, just being there like in a new city, not knowing, you know, not having all my contacts and all my friends there. So it kind of ended up working out really well that we were both like right on top of each other the whole time in the beginning, because I just needed that support from him at the time. And, you know, he was able to just like help me make contacts in the industry faster and, you know, kind of help me like work my way into San Francisco in a easier way.
It took some adjustment. I mean, working from home together, definitely. I think I remember at the very beginning, we definitely had some, you know, just like, look, we need to figure out our own space and time here. But
oh yeah, we were like working from the kitchen table at the same time. And one of us would be kind of like have more work than the other that day. And it was sort of like, oh God, this is just, you know, we really need to like put some boundaries. We started working in separate rooms just to be like, great, when we take breaks, we'll get together and we'll make lunch and we'll, you know, go for a walk or go.
Yeah, we figured out the rhythm. So,
well, how do your personalities balance out? How would you say, where would you say maybe Steve, your strengths are, and where would you say maybe her strengths are that balance out mm-hmm. what you would say your, you know, weaknesses are comparatively?
Yeah. I mean, I admire a lot, you know, Stacey's kind of critical thinking and critical mind when it comes to food and wine. And she's not afraid to voice her opinion. And she's gotten a really strong opinion and got reasons to back it up. And, you know, I think I'm a little bit less opinionated because I just tend to see the good in almost everything. And so I think my critical mind is a little bit weaker than Stacey's. But I think that also, on the flip side, I'm a little bit more easygoing. I get riled up a little less.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I'm feistier. Yeah, I'm definitely feistier. But I think, you know, he loves my feistiness and it makes him laugh rather than like it makes him uncomfortable. And I love his calmness because I need it to balance me in feisty times. So it's like a good, we're both like, I'm so glad you're the way that you are because I don't have what you have and we both need that.
Yeah.
How did that age you when you both recently moved back to Brooklyn? So you're both, are you from the East Coast?
From outside Philadelphia.
Because you went to school in Philadelphia. So I assumed that you were from the East Coast. Yeah. You're both from the East Coast.
Right.
You were living in the West Coast. You just moved back to the East Coast over this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that timeline was sort of wonky as far as how you both and all of your stuff got out here. So how did the balance of your personality and transferring again, new job, you know, a new job for you, Stacey, and transferring your work, your business is still Steve in San Francisco, and now you are running your part of the job from Brooklyn. So how did this balance in your personality aid you as both of you progressively moved yourselves and your stuff back to Brooklyn?
Yeah, good question.
Thank you.
Well, I think some of that like drive that I have to just get it done and, you know, kind of just like, I go full steam ahead when I'm ready for something. And I think what happened was we had sort of started talking about, do we come back to New York? Do we try it? You know, we had never lived on the East Coast together. We'd only lived on the West Coast together. Excuse me. And we loved the West Coast and we loved San Francisco. But, you know, our families are here and we started to think like, I don't know, do we owe it to ourselves to just try both? So I kind of started to put that out into the universe. I told like two or three close friends, you know, we're kind of talking about maybe looking into coming back to New York, and sort of miraculously, you know, 2 weeks later or something, I got a call from Sever saying that they were looking for a new test kitchen director. Would I be interested? And so, you know, all of a sudden everything started to click and everything started to happen really fast. And what started out as, should we maybe think about it at some point, was like, we need to be there next month. Go. So, you know, Steve, having never lived in New York, I don't think, at least I assumed at the time, he had no idea what that would be like as far as shoving ourselves into an apartment and where that apartment would be and, you know, what that energy was going to be like in the beginning. And I sort of started to get, you know, kind of anxious about it and sort of like, all right, I got to go out there. I got to start the real estate hunt.
Non-New Yorkers listening, it's not like you can just be like, oh, I'll find an apartment in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
God. I mean, what I always say is you have to see a bunch of places that basically look like the Anne Frank house before you can
and
actually find
And then it's like the Hunger Games
like
to get the one that you want.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you think is never really what turns out to be. You always think, I want to live in this one neighborhood. And then you see all the places and, you know, they've all got sloped floors and molding windows when
then you
like,
show up
mind.
And the broker's like, oh, that one's not available, but I have this one. And you're like, wait a second.
So I came in kind of like a bat out of hell and started just going to 1,000 real estate appointments and showings while also meeting all the new people at my new job and kind of just getting reused to the idea of working in Midtown again at a full-time job and, you know, in that emotional transition and that physical transition.
Those couple weeks were kind of a good anecdote for how our personalities are, because Stacey just literally like went to New York, found us an apartment, started a new job, like just like her hair on fire.
Oh yeah. I mean, I landed at like midnight on a Sunday night and had to start my job on Monday morning, sleeping on an air mattress in our empty apartment that we had just gotten, you know, so, and Steve's like,
my flip side was, you know, I was just doing this like, you know, very like,
long, lovely goodbye to San Francisco.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm having a goodbye party. Sorry, you can't be there. You know, I was like, what?
And, you know, I took care of wrapping up the apartment, which takes a lot of just packing and patience and organization. And,
Yeah. And but then, you know, those first couple of months, it was, I mean, there was just so much to absorb. I mean, just the feeling of like me not getting home until 7 p.m. at night or, you know, later sometimes was really, really different for us because we had been used to saying, hey, what's your schedule like today? Okay, should we make some time to like go do something together at 2? Or, no, you have like not that many projects today? Me neither. Let's, you know, so it was really like this brand new universe for us as far as like the schedule and one of us waking up at a different time than the other and having mm-hmm. to like run out of the house and all that rhythm was just totally new. So,
it
was
a lot. What's the biggest conflict right now that you feel like you're trying to figure out in this new position, this new life in New York?
She doesn't cook for me anymore.
I knew you were gonna say that. I know, I feel horrible, but
I mean, not ever. it's just a lot less because I was right. She was working freelance from our apartment, so she was constantly recipe testing in our apartment
right.
and I was there to eat it all.
Yeah,
and which was
and,
amazing.
You know, now I cook a lot at work. I mean, not all day every day, but quite a bit. And I don't know. It's not the type of thing you can like pack up and travel home with, or, I mean, you know, it's just tough to like get home at 7 and then say, what do you want for dinner, and start that process. So usually Steve starts that process and I'll come in and like chip in the last little bit. But, but it's good because he's been forced to kind of just like get more creative in the kitchen, cook a little bit more, you know, like I feel like you've been taking more risks and having more fun with it.
Thanks.
And yeah, otherwise I would have totally been dominating that all the time because, frankly, like, you know, I know I can do it fast. I know I can do it well. I'm like, all right, I'll just make dinner. So right.
And in a way, it's especially for me being new to New York, it's in a way good because it's forcing me out of the house a little bit, too, and just go explore. And
yeah, because it's easy working from home in New York to never leave your apartment
oh, yeah,
if you don't
sure.
have a reason
especially
to leave your apartment.
In Red Hook, you know.
Right.
But
right.
But yeah, with her out of the house, it's like, okay, like, this is, you know, I'm just going to go explore and right. check out a new restaurant, try to chat up a new account or something like that.
Right. Well, one final question before I ask you our final question. So one penultimate question. What is one of the things that I love about this series of asking people within the same industry is that I think a lot of people assume that there's going to be so much struggle with a crossover that it's sometimes not going to be worth it. Just because of how much added pressure there can be. But what is something on the flip side of that you feel like is so unique by having this crossover in your industry, especially with this big move that you've had the past couple of months that you cherish, that you feel like either if it's a specific memory or something about your relationship in longevity that you feel like is pretty crucial to your happiness as a couple, that you feel like you wouldn't have if you didn't have this shared love of wine and food in the hospitality world?
I think it's I built a professional kind of network in San Francisco that Stacy was able to tap into, and I think that allowed her to get some great projects in San Francisco, and then kind of moving back here I've been able to tap into what she's built here. So it's really kind of the overlapping of two networks on two coasts. And I think that for me, and I think probably for her too, that just makes us better at our job, and more, I think, valuable in a lot of ways. So,
yeah, I think also like our industry kind of extends to a lifestyle, you know, which mm-hmm. sounds cheesy, but I mean, we both love to travel so much. You know, I feel like when I'm really passionate about something, it's just like, some silly, you know, it's like meatballs. I mean, I just am so excited about this new thing I learned about meatballs today. Steve's like actually chimed in, you know, like listening and kind of like, wow, really? That is kind of an interesting thing. As opposed to somebody who has nothing, you know, no interest in food and no knowledge of that industry or how exciting that feeling can be when you discover something in the food and wine and travel world. You know, I feel like he's just more attentive to my work stuff because it kind of bleeds into our home stuff too. And when we have like a shared thing where we're like, oh, we, you know, we'd love to go taste the wines of this one region or try the food and see the markets of this other region, we just start planning, you know, those things out months in advance, just being like, let's make that a goal. You know, I want to know more about that. Let's go do it together.
Yeah. I think that's a good point with travel. We each kind of come at it with a little bit of a different lens, but the overall experience for both of us is that much more rich.
Yeah, we take amazing vacations.
I bet. All right, last question. And this is always so much more fun to make writers do because it's so specific. Can you describe what you love most about your partner in only 3 words? And you only get 3 words to do it. So it can either be 3 adjectives or 3 words that make a phrase.
I love that we don't know each other's because I'm so excited to hear Steve's. But I was thinking about this on the subway ride over. And what I came up with was defaults to happiness. And I just really feel like, At the end of the day, you know, I know
no,
that...
No, you only get three words.
Okay.
That's the thing.
Okay, that's it. All right, I'm done. All right, I could have gone all poetic
there. I know,
yeah.
But that's why I love it, because you only get the three words, and
sorry.
It's so hard.
That's really hard for writers.
I know, exactly. That's why it's my favorite thing to make writers do. Defaults to happiness.
That's good. She did her homework.
That is amazing. Defaults to happiness.
I think, let's see, let's say... riotously funny and huge heart.
That's four words.
I don't know how you...
I'll take it.
Make heart
all
sound
right.
bigger. But, yeah.
It's all right. That's very sweet. That's very sweet. We'll let him have it. He's not a writer, so we'll let him have four.
No.
All right. You guys are wonderful. Thank you so much
Thank
for coming on the
great.
Show. Listeners, you can find Steve on Instagram as at grassfedgraph. That's G-R-A-F. And his Banshee Wines at Banshee Wines. You can find Stacey on Twitter and Instagram as at Stacey_Adamondo. Scores of information about Stacey and Steve are on our website, lovebitesradio.com. There you can also find all of the couples featured in this series, what we've got cooking for the next two series on deck, blog posts about dating and love, and every single guest we've had on in the past. We've got something for everyone, so head there and drop us a line. And if you want to catch up on what Ben and I are doing right now in real time, we are sharing our dating, life, and work stories on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We are at Love Bites Radio on all platforms. That is our show for today. Thank you, as always, to our engineer, David. Our theme song is Give Love by Josh Dion. I am Jacqueline Raposo. Love Bites will be back at the same time here next week at heritageradionetwork.org.
For listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening. How do I save the world?